Hi, I'm Nicole Ferraro, and this is The Divide, a podcast from Light Reading exploring the ongoing digital divide, why and where it still exists, and what needs to be done to get people everywhere connected to reliable, high-speed internet. Today, I'm joined by Anna Reed from Pew Charitable Trust's Broadband Research Initiative. As a research officer at Pew, Anna and her team are focused on how states are working to address gaps in broadband access. She joins me today to dive into some of those findings and to discuss what efforts are and are not working when it comes to closing the digital divide. Anna, thank you so much for joining me. It's really a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. So I'd love to start off just by talking a little bit about why the digital divide still exists. From your research, what are some of the ongoing impediments confronting rural and urban communities that still lack adequate or affordable access to reliable high-speed internet?
The digital divide, or the gap between people who have access to broadband and devices and those who don't, has really been highlighted by the pandemic. You know, the impact it has on the ability to participate in online education, to telework, to access telehealth and other services from home. And it exists for several reasons. One of the primary reasons is the lack of infrastructure. And this is, you know, those areas of the country that do not have internet infrastructure that can provide service at broadband speeds. This is primarily a challenge in rural areas. Over 95%, or about 95% of Americans have access to the internet broadband speeds. And in urban areas, that's over 98% of the population. But roughly one in five rural Americans do not have access to broadband.
That's a lot.
And then the second component is adoption. You know, people not subscribing to the service where it is available. Our colleagues at the Pew Research Center have done great work on understanding reasons for non-adoption. And there are a couple main ones. You know, there are people who do not see a broadband connection as necessary or relevant to their lives. You know, this is a small and declining component of the population. But there still is that group. There are people who then see either a smartphone connection or access available outside of their homes as sufficient to meeting their connectivity needs. One of the biggest challenges to adoption is the affordability of that service, whether that be kind of the cost-quality trade-off, you know, those areas where you may have high cost versus low service, or just the inability to fit that cost into a household's monthly budget. And as we're, you know, looking at public policy interventions to address this challenge, it's really important to understand both the access to infrastructure component and the adoption component of the digital divide.
Right. So, okay. So when it comes to addressing those things, what would you say is working, isn't working when it comes to both public and private efforts to intervene and help close the digital divide? And why are those things working and not working?
In terms of what is working, you know, there are a lot of efforts underway. At Pew, our work has primarily focused on the role of state broadband initiatives in addressing this challenge. And there are a number of state programs that are really working actively to address and close gaps in broadband access. And as we looked across states, you know, we saw a set of fairly consistent practices that were making progress in closing those gaps in access. So, you know, engaging stakeholders, connecting stakeholders at both the state and local level to help facilitate partnerships, to help identify opportunities for projects that will, you know, provide that necessary infrastructure access. You know, states are working to address broadband in their state policy to identify barriers, to set up funding mechanisms, to set goals for, you know, achieving more universal access. They're supporting planning and capacity building activities, which can identify partnerships and prepare communities and providers for state or federal funding support. States are directly providing funding to support expanding access to broadband and closing the digital divide. And then they're, you know, evaluating those impacts and using that to inform next steps. And this is where we see states beginning to focus more on that broadband adoption component, particularly the affordability challenge. I guess in terms of what's not working,
yeah.
the last year has really highlighted that this is a very pressing challenge, and that there's a lot of work that still needs to be done to close the digital divide. So you have that sort of time frame of addressing the challenge. At both the state and federal levels, programs and funding support have primarily been focused on the infrastructure component of the challenge. You know, and the pandemic again has really highlighted the importance of addressing that affordability component as well. And then when you're looking at programs and the funding support, you know, the coordination between state and federal efforts isn't always as effective or efficient as it could be. We're also continuing, you know, to look at broadband as the Federal Communications Commission currently defines it, those speeds of 25 megabits per second, 3 megabits download, 3 megabits per second upload. And as, you know, more of our sort of day-to-day activities have moved online over the last year, you know, we're all engaging in Zoom calls all the time, or all engaging in web conferencing calls of various types all the time, and using more of these intensive applications. You know, we're still looking at funding going to support projects that may not address how household needs are evolving.
Got it. Okay. So you've been talking a little bit about the state role as well, and you mentioned the relationship with the federal governments and the state. And I wonder if you could just break down how you see the difference in what the federal government role is in closing the digital divide and the state's role, and perhaps even going forward based on what we've learned this past year and even what we've learned over the course of, you know, a decade or so trying to address this problem.
Yeah, as I noted, Pew's work on this issue has really focused on how states are addressing the digital divide. And of course, that does include work with their federal partners, work with federal agencies related to funding. Mm-hmm. And when you're kind of looking at the difference between the role that the federal government plays and the role of states, the federal government provides a lot of funding support for broadband. You know, it has significantly more funding to invest towards solving this challenge. And that funding is, you know, structured in different ways. Grants are available, loans are available. Funding is also available through a number of different agencies. There's also some support for other levels of government, you know, technical assistance type support through some of those programs. State governments are one level closer to the issue. You know, they are directly connected with communities in their states that are facing these challenges, that are addressing or living with the lack of broadband access. And states, you know, do work to address this as sort of the multifaceted challenge it is. You know, they're, again, providing that funding support, providing that planning and capacity building support, looking at how to address this in state policy, and also really working to actively engage stakeholders at both the state level and state and local, and at a more local level. So helping, you know, build those connections between communities and providers, for example, to make some of these projects a reality.
Got it. Is there any state in particular that you think has done a good job of this over the last year that other communities should look to?
We focused on examples across 9 states, and, you know, they all have different levels of funding support. The programs have been in existence for different periods of time. States making progress on this challenge. And just to highlight a couple examples, project in Colorado. So Colorado has the Colorado Broadband Office, and then it has several funding programs through the Department of Regulatory Agencies and the Department of Local Affairs, the first focusing on last mile funding, the latter focusing on middle mile support. The Department of Local Affairs has also funded planning activity in the state's regions over the last several years. And this has led to, you know, again, both those middle mile projects that are necessary to make those last mile projects feasible in more rural areas. And then the Department of Regulatory Agencies funds last mile projects. So just an example of what's come out of this in Colorado is Project Thor, which is a project of the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments. It's a 400-mile Northwest Colorado COG serves as the network owner in collaboration with 14 local governments in the region. And then the network is operated by a private sector partner. It received funding both from the Department of Local Affairs and then also uses fiber leased from the Colorado Department of Transportation. And this project, you know, came about as a result of the planning and capacity building support, as well as the funding support facilitated by that state broadband program. One other example in terms of partnerships that are forming like around adoption, Minnesota has had a very active broadband program for a number of years now. And in May, resulting from the pandemic, a public-private partnership to support ensuring that underserved students, underconnected students have access to both the devices and internet connections they need to participate in online learning. And it's a public-private partnership between a number of businesses, foundations, and public sector partners in the state. And they've been making grants to help support these goals.
Got it. Okay, great. I think that we can leave it there. Thank you so much, Anna, for taking the time to talk through this all with me. I'm looking forward to reading more of your research this year.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Anna Reed, for joining me today. You can find a link to Pew's broadband research down in the show notes. Thank you as well to our producer, Tien Fu, for making this episode. And thank you, of course, for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the Light Reading Podcast for more episodes of The Divide, as well as other interviews and insights from the team. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.